Welcome to Vegas Ringside Rundown, the podcast that brings you the heart-pounding action and insightful discussions of youth hockey right from the heart of Las Vegas. I'm thrilled to introduce to you your favorite hockey dads, Nate and Ron.
Nate and Ron, there you have it. We're back for another week of Vegas Ringside Rundown. Man, what a tough week it's been.
Well, tough for some, not tough for others.
Yeah.
You know, it's that time of year. Everybody's stressed out. And hopefully all that's over now.
Yeah. So before we get into today's podcast, we just want you to know, if you have any questions, reach us at
info@VegasRinkside.com.
Or check us out at our website at
VegasRinkside.com.
There you go, VegasRinkside.com.
Can we say it again? VegasRinkside.com.
Yes, we can. So, here we go. Let's deep dive right into this first session that we want to talk about. And that is, let's just talk about tryouts. They just happened. So, just to get a little background, there were three organizations having tryouts over the last, say, 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Three organizations, two of which had tryouts over the same time frame, and some of it was over the same time, which I think we talked about in the previous podcast.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about the scheduling conflicts, and you know, there was the third organization had them after.
Yeah, sort of they did the right thing, like most of them do.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about, you know, can you switch? Can you maybe next year it's Ice Warriors, then it's, say, Storm, then it's VGK. Probably not.
Or I really like the idea of the combined tryout where they all.
Yeah, I do too.
So it's
get the coaches together and then put the offers up. Make them work a little bit for these kids, right? Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
But so you might have had your kid try out for a team. We'll use Vegas Junior Golden Knights program that had a 14. As a matter of fact, all their programs were originally posted or listed as AAA programs.
Mm-hmm.
I think from my point of view, and obviously the conversations that we're having over the podcast is our point of view. If you guys obviously have a different point of view. Number one, you can come on the podcast. We'd be happy to interview your point of view. And number two, you can always send us an email. We will definitely bring it up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or, you know, instant message us on Facebook. We have a group page. It's called Vegas Ringside Rundown on the Facebook group page. We also have an Instagram account at Vegas Ringside Rundown. You can. Yeah,
we're always looking for feedback, input.
Yeah, we love a great conspiracy, right? So you guys have noticed that, you know, maybe you guys have, I don't know, but I do. I've noticed this, that, you know, Vegas Junior Golden Knights had the AAA after all of their age groups. I think from 8U and up.
Well, yeah, that's...
Or 10U and up. Or
so if you're going to go to birth year groups, which is basically where you say, okay, this team is only going to have kids born in 2009, 2000, or, you know, then this other team is only going to have kids born in 2010.
Yeah, 11, 12, so on and so forth.
Yeah, right. So, and this year, I think the age groups for USA Hockey start at 2006, right, and go all the way up to 2018. And... so for USA Hockey purposes, Canada is a little different.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a Tier 1 team, which is that AAA classification, right, that's your birth year team. Right?
Yeah.
Tier 2, which is your quote-unquote AA, single A, B classifications, so they group them all together.
Yeah.
Those are combined birth year teams, right? So you'll have, you know, kids for 8 and under, and that's 18, 17, 16 birth years.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you go to squirts, which is 10 and under, 14 and 15, 12 and under, 12 and 13, 14 and under, 10 and 11, so on and so forth, 8, 9, 7, 6. As you go up the age groups, right, they combine those. And so if you're in a Tier 2 program, you'll have those combined birth year teams where you have a first year and a second year.
Yeah.
In the age group. And so by VGK going to all single birth year groups, technically that's only done in the Tier 1 classification, right?
Yeah.
And all that means really is, are you qualifying for USA Hockey Nationals as a Tier 1 team or a Tier 2 team? And so I know that some of the Vegas Golden Knights teams may not actually submit for a Tier 1 classification. They may submit for a Tier 2 classification.
Correct. And that's what we were trying to. That's where I'm trying to get at with this conversation here is that we just got done through tryouts, right? So if you had a kid that, you know, you read, hey, join Vegas Junior Golden Knights and make our we'll say 13 triple, 14 triple, 15 triple, and then you come in and you go okay, and then you have a team meeting or there's an evaluation of the kids. If you're not going to, you know, not able to like bring kids on or whatever. I know there were some parents out there were upset because some of those teams didn't make AAA status. Now to give, you know, to before you jump into what you were going to say, my thought though is that you do have to evaluate where you have an option of a Tier 2 or a Tier 1. You have to evaluate your team.
Absolutely.
Right? So let's say that you're thinking you're going to be on a 14 triple and you just don't, the organization doesn't have enough kids. Let's say they don't have enough kids. Let's say that they're only able to pull out of all the kids that have tried out for Vegas Junior Golden Knights. Let's say that they were only able to get, I don't know, 15 kids. And typically, if you're running four forward lines at three kids apiece, that's 12 kids. Plus, usually they go with three defensive lines for six. So you're looking at 18. Mm-hmm. So you have three more open spots. At that point, you can either make a determination at 14, because we're talking about 14U, to stick with the full triple name, maybe get some kids that are 14, I will say 2010s, because that's who they are, the 2010s, get the 2010s on the team, or you bring up some 2011s, and then you just make yourself a double. Mm-hmm. Now, you as a parent, would you be upset that the evaluation has happened and the organization decided to go Tier 2, double A?
I mean, it's as a parent on my end, I would not be upset, right? If a parent is upset, it's because perhaps it's a little bit of false advertisement they may feel, you know, where they signed up for a AAA team. They thought, you know, my kid is making a AAA team, and then all of a sudden it's no longer a AAA team. Well, in my mind, I would rather the coach be honest about the evaluation.
Yeah.
And provide the kids the best opportunity moving forward. Right? So would you rather your kid have the opportunity to compete in the national championship as a double A or end their season in February and just not do anything at all?
Yeah, no, that makes a good point. Cause once again, maybe the parents out here that are listening to this podcast don't realize that with youth hockey, if you're a Tier 1 team, you're not going to be playing for, I don't think you're playing for state, are you?
No, you'd
have to play for region, right?
For your district.
District.
Right? So for our kids,
Yeah.
As an example, our districts are being held in Anaheim, California.
Yeah.
And if I'm not, I'm probably mistaken, but I believe that we are in the district with Idaho, Washington, Oregon, California, and Arizona. So in order to go to nationals as a tier one team, you're going to have to go into your district and win that district. So whereas the tier two nationals, you're going to have to win your state. For example, the 13U Bantam teams, so that 14U age group, which this year includes 2010s and 2011s.
Yeah.
Right. So if we're in that group and we declare as tier one, well, either then we have to go to district and we have to match up. I assume you're looking up.
I did. So the USA Hockey Pacific District serves Alaska, California, Hawaii, Nevada, Oregon, and Washington.
Okay, so no Idaho, Alaska.
Yeah, no Idaho, Alaska, and no Arizona.
Okay. So, but still, that's you know, there's California is a massive market. Alaska has really, really good teams, as does Washington. So, Oregon, I think, is a similar size market to Nevada, but if you're in a tier one, you're looking at competing against way bigger markets.
California,
right? So it's just a numbers game at that point. Where as a coach, right, in Nevada, I'm in a tryout where I have 150, at most 200 kids.
Yeah,
right. So, and then in California, in some of those, they have 300, 400, 500 kids to choose from, right? So it's just a numbers game where, on the averages, if I have 500 kids to pick from, I'm going to get better athletes.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and in tier two, if you choose to go the tier two route, then you compete within your state. So, as an example, VGK and Storm both have AA teams. Mm-hmm. And so you would play a state championship, and the winner of that would go on to nationals.
Which is the route you really want to go.
Yeah.
If you can.
Because you want to give your kids that experience, right?
Yeah.
So
2024 Pacific District Championship tournaments with the champions, 16U Tier 1 Los Angeles Junior Kings, 15 Tier 1 Los Angeles Junior Kings.
Well, they're in LA.
14, I get it. 14 Tier 1 Anaheim Junior Ducks, 13 Los Angeles Junior Kings. Girls got somebody out of California, which is the Alaska All-Stars. 14U and the LA Lions girls. That was tier two. Excuse me. Tier one is LA Lions girls.
Mm-hmm.
And really, that's pretty much it. I mean, at the end of the day, everything's coming out of California.
No, it's market size, right? Yeah. It's just, like I said, it's number of kids that you have to choose from.
So you have the number of kids. So, for 14. You, as we were talking about, you know, triple, double, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, I'd rather play against Storm for state than play against LA Junior Kings for nationals.
Well, it's just about having that experience.
Yeah.
Right. So the last year, right, or not last, two seasons ago now, the 14U Vegas Junior Golden Knights won the national championship in their division.
Tier two.
tier two.
Yep.
But also level two.
Yeah.
So two A, I think, is right. So you have.
Yeah. So you also have size. So once you get the Nationals, this is the weird thing. Once you get the Nationals, you're not playing against California.
No, because they're in 3A.
Yeah.
Which is determined based on the size, the number of kids registered in USA Hockey for that state.
Isn't that funny, though? You've got to go through a 3A pro organization, we'll say a 3A state,
mm-hmm.
to get to Nationals to play in Tier 1.
Correct.
Hmm.
So Tier 1 is just, like, they're assuming...
It's all AAA. Tier 1's AAA regardless of what state you're out of.
Exactly.
You're all AAA. So now, because you're AAA, you play for district, and then that district allows you to go to Nationals.
Correct.
But once you're in Nationals, you don't have to. You're not playing for...
Well, in Tier 1, it's the same thing. You're playing against nationally. Doesn't matter market size.
Oh, it doesn't matter market size. Tier only two.
Tier okay. two matters market size.
Okay.
And so that's really where that decision by the coach goes is, do I have a team that is just absolutely exceptional?
Yeah.
Where I think I have four offensive lines that can go out there and kill it, three defensive lines that can go out there and kill it, and at least one goalie that is absolutely shut down. If you got that, go ahead.
Of course, you register as AAA.
But in Vegas, really, we will have one or two offensive lines that can compete and one and a half defensive lines that can compete. And there's really only one or two goalies that can compete mm-hmm. at that AAA level. In the whole state of Vegas.
Yeah. And understand we're not putting down any kids and their talent ability. Just that's what you have to draw from.
Yeah.
Like at the end of the day, you can only draw for the kids in your state. And now you can bring in other kids as you get older, you know, there's billeting
mm-hmm.
and you could bring in other kids. But for like 13, 14, 12.
Yeah.
Once you get peewee, you know, there's no billeting there. So you just got to draw off of the kids that you currently have. And that's some of the struggle. So you don't have a problem with that. I don't think I would either. I don't. I don't play for the, if it says triple or double A. And I think parents need to realize that too. Like, I know our kids have aspirations of playing on a triple A team.
Mm-hmm.
I went over to Colorado and played Thunderbirds AAA. But little did they know the spring season, they had an elite team that was better.
Yeah.
So did you play on a AAA team? I mean, it's really just letters. What you really should be looking for, and we'll make this very clear, I think you're really looking for, I wouldn't even put it past the organization. I think at the end of the day, you're looking for the coach.
Absolutely.
I think you're looking for the coach that's going to help your kid progress, help your kid get better, help your kid become a better player, a team player.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's more important than the letters after the number.
Absolutely. If you're looking for what's best for your kid, you're going to want to look for a coach who's teaching them the fundamentals. And not looking for the kids that are going to go out there and show off and do one-on-one drills and whatever. You want them to go out there, teach them fundamentals, teach them passing, teach them drills where they're moving, instruct the kids on that, you know, on where to be on the ice and what to look for.
Mm-hmm.
Right from basically 10U on up. That's what you want to look for.
Yeah. And you want good coaches in your house league program that do the same.
Absolutely.
Everyone needs to be on the same page. And that's one thing that we're not.
No. And that's just
right?
Really it's market size, market attraction. We're not, you know, our house league coaches are volunteer dads for the most part that on it that may have never played hockey before, that never coached before. There's no real training programs. I know in some other markets, they put their coaches through training programs.
Yeah. But,
hey, you know, you're going to learn to coach our way. And we don't really have that here. And
I know I brought it up. I brought it up the storm. I said, you should really truly get your coaches that, you know, volunteer, because it's all volunteer. Mm-hmm. You might get a little break if your kid played on the team, but like we both did it and we didn't even have a kid on the team. So
yeah,
we were just doing it to enjoy the, you know.
Well, enjoy the seeing the kids grow and teach them.
Oh, man. And they have. Trust me.
Absolutely.
But there's no direction in that sense where it is in line with their travel program, right?
No.
Or in line with their high school program at this moment.
No, really. What I would like to see is in that respect, like I said, I'd like to see a training program for the coaches. You know, don't just send them off and, hey, go... go do these modules on USA Hockey. Right? Why not do a class with all your coaches together?
Yeah, I mean the modules are fine, but they're basic stuff.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is maybe you take, you know, the coaches are volunteering. Maybe they you say, okay, on this Saturday we're gonna, or you know, these next 2-3 Saturdays, hey, we're going to work through all these modules together. And you teach your coaches, you know, this is what the module's saying, but this is the Storm way, or this is the VGK way, or this is the Ice Warriors way. And then you would have sort of a more cohesive experience for the kids as they go through.
Mm-hmm. So parents out there, just know that if your kid... your kiddo is really looking to get on a AAA team, there's some exceptions to the rule, but if they're really getting, you know, they want to make like their goals AAA here in Vegas, they could get on a AAA team. There are AAA teams, like as we were saying, 13 and 15 are tier one triple. There is no tier two year birth year only.
Mm-hmm.
It is more of if you're going to go tier two for all, if you're going to be an all 15 or an all 09 team, and you want to do a, say your coach is like, yeah, you know what? I don't think we have enough to get to triple, or we want to dip our toe in that, then they would have to be registered as a 16U.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they're all 15Us, that's fine. You could be all the same age, but you'd have to be in the 16U bracket for the AA opportunity.
And what, you know, there is a benefit for that. If I have an all 15U team, or basically an all 2009 team, or in the 14U division, or all 2011 team, or in the 12U division, an all 2013 team. Right, so if it's the first year of that age bracket,
yeah.
Right, so if I have that, if I have an all birth year team, but I don't feel like we have those four strong lines or three strong lines, or I feel that maybe we're not quite there yet with the goalie.
Yeah,
registering as a tier two team doesn't mean you can't go play AAA competition all season long. You can go play in those birth year tournaments.
Yeah.
All season long. And then at the end of the season, you go and compete in your tier two division.
Yeah. And it just makes for better hockey.
Mm-hmm.
Kids are playing against better players. You'll really see if you guys can, you know, if the team can even make it. And, you know, like just going off of us, like you're sitting there going, okay, 15 triple right now. And, you know, I don't have any expectations that we're going to win all our games at all.
No, not at all. I mean,
my expectation is coach handles and identifies kids, how to play them, how to work them, what to do. And then I was just telling one of the dads today, I said, listen, if we played that, say we play the LA Junior Kings and we get absolutely pummeled, let's say we get 15-0. And then we play him at the end for district. And we lose to him like 2-1.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's a win.
Absolutely.
Because, yeah, okay, we didn't beat them, but we sure the hell didn't give up 15 goals against them.
Mm-hmm.
We actually played harder, played tighter. I think some of the things for Vegas, though, what I like about Vegas teams, they do have a lot of speed.
Oh, yeah.
These kids are fast out there. More fast than, I don't know, was there any team that was like that out-hustled us from last season with Storm?
With Storm as a Tier 2 team, absolutely not.
Yeah, I didn't think so. But you might see it in triple for sure.
Well, because, again, we're picking from between 100 and 200 athletes. Mm-hmm. Certainly there weren't any tryouts with more than 200 kids.
Yeah.
So, of course, if you've got 400 kids or 500 kids to choose from.
Oh, you probably have thousands in the state of California that you can probably pull from Northern California,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely, yeah. So
let me be very clear, and I think this was one of our topics last week too. They're going to pull from wherever they can pull from to put out the best possible team.
Well, you have to.
There's Vegas kids currently that are in the program, LA Junior Kings program, Anaheim Ducks program. They're over there playing. Because, I don't know, parents want them to play in the better league. I know this because I was talking to one of the coaches that we work with, and he's training some of those kids that are here in Vegas, that are in L.A., playing on those teams. They tried out. They got made team. Now you can have the argument, well, why aren't they here in Nevada? Because the families have determined that they want their kids to be in, you know, we're not there, you know, maybe they're in their minds, we're not there yet.
Well, it's two things.
And I'm not putting down these organizations because they are truly doing the best they can with the talent they have. But I'm a firm believer, like, I don't know about you, but I don't need to ship my son away in 8U, they got to go to LA. Not at all. And I wouldn't even recommend that. And I wouldn't even recommend doing it. 14U, I'm probably 16U, maybe beyond 16U, maybe you can consider. At some point, you'll have to sit there and evaluate and say, okay, I feel like my kid has something. Do we continue down the path or we make the leap? But, you know, even the people that are recruiting kids are saying, you know, they're not looking at you.
Mm-hmm.
So parents listening out there, you know, anything under 16U, they're really not looking at your kid. Or, and which we'll get into this, because that's our next segment here in a few minutes, or they're looking at your kid so they can ask you to join a team over the summer.
And charge you thousands of dollars to play on this team over the summer. Really, okay, parents, here's the real point. If your kid is not 16 years old, you have no clue what that kid is going to be at 18 years old.
Yeah.
And even the development between 16 and 18 is massive. But at least at that point, you have some sort of direction.
Yeah, like you have a kid that's super fast in 10U, 12U, 14U. By the time they get 18U... everyone catches up.
Yep.
Or your kid sprouts sooner. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, he's big. He can hit. Well, once they turn 18, kids catch up.
For example, my oldest son, when he was 13, 14, not a big kid. He was a little taller than average, you know, but... nothing
like 5'6", 5'7".
5'7", 5'8". By the time he was from 15 to 16, he went from that 5'7", 5'8" to 6'3", 6'4".
Yeah.
And he went from 120 pounds to 240 pounds. So you have like, the kid that's playing hockey at 5'6", 5'7", 120 pounds is a way different kid than the one playing hockey at 6'4", 240.
Oh yeah.
So, and that's a difference of that 14, 15, 16, those, like you end up with a completely different kid.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So if there's a coach out there that's saying, oh, you know, now in some sports like football or soccer, you can sort of see it a little earlier, but if they're looking at your kid at 13 or 14, they've got no clue.
Yeah.
Absolutely no clue.
Yeah.
And maybe your kid develops early. The big problem there is those kids tend to top out. So if your kid is A level in peewee and bantam, don't worry about it. If he's double A level, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Is he improving every year? Is he doing what our coach said? Is he making that 1% improvement every day?
Yeah.
So that's a realistic point of view here. If your kid's not 16 years old or older, you've got no clue what that kid is going to be.
Well, you heard it from Nate, one of the two pucking dads on this program. Listen, take a deep breath, everyone. Enjoy the process. Enjoy watching your kids compete. And
have some fun.
Have some fun. Don't worry about, you know, if the team's going to win or lose. You really want to worry about who's coaching your kid and how that is. Even USA Hockey wants to see more practices than actual game time. Because kids in game time get less pucks on the tape of their stick. In practice, it's always there. You're always doing drills. I think we said something like, you know, three, four, maybe eight practices to one game or something. It's some ridiculous number.
Well, development really doesn't happen in games. You see maybe where, oh, okay, this is where we are. This is where we got to be.
Yeah.
But development happens in practices where you're getting 15, 20, 30 reps with a puck on your stick.
Yeah.
Versus a game where you may get 7, 8.
Yeah, it's all muscle memory.
Mm-hmm.
So hang in there, parents. Everything's going to be just okay.
And don't...
Hey, and if you disagree with us, that's fine. It's called a discussion. We're having it right now. And, you know, if you want to put in your 2 cents, we'll be happy to bring that your concerns up on our podcast at info@vegasringside.com.
Yeah, send us a rant. Send us a, you know, hey, I agree or I don't agree. Or
send us something.
You guys are dumb. Whatever.
And again, don't forget to support your local local organizations out there that provide like hockey equipment.
Mm-hmm.
Revolt Hockey Company off of Maryland Parkway and 215. It's a great store to go in and get some gear and stuff and support local.
Buy local, help grow hockey locally.
But we got through the tryouts.
Mm-hmm.
Most kids are placed. I do want to say this, as watching the last of the tryouts at Las Vegas Ice Warriors, that when Gorman added, so just so the listeners know or understand, high school hockey is starting to grow here in Las Vegas. So you have two high school teams. One's Gorman and the other one is Faith Lutheran. Both are allowing kids that are not currently in their high school to play on their team as they need to have kids to play.
Mm-hmm.
Last year they had I believe it was a D2 and a JV. I don't think they had a D1 at last year. So it was D2, varsity, D2. And just so everyone understands this process, the Anaheim Ducks High School League, I think the
ADHSHL.
Okay. Have three varsity divisions,
mm-hmm.
D1, D2, D3, D1 being the top, 2 and 3 going downwards, and then a JV. Well, when we put it together, when Las Vegas put together, or the two high schools put together their teams, they had two teams each, four teams total. They had a D2 varsity, and then they had the JV. The funny thing is, and especially with all the kids in California, which I thought was really interesting, and we mentioned this back reporting about the high school stuff. What's interesting is that their JV in California is mostly comprised of house league kids because of the amount of kids that want to play, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they push them to the JV, and that's their way of growing the kids or whatever you want to call them. There's nothing wrong with being a house league. That's your next progression, right? Trying to get on a travel team, try to get on a high school team, whatever. So when we put together our two teams, so we had our varsity and our JV, well, our JV is mostly travel kids. Okay, there wasn't enough teams for mm-hmm. all the travel kids to be on. So when they started playing JV in California, they're like, oh my God, Vegas, Faith and Gorman are like crushing mm-hmm. our JV teams, like 15-0, 12-1.
Yeah, you had games where the other team had one or two shots.
Maybe.
On goal.
So they said, okay, your JV's got to move to
D3 mm-hmm.
because the competition's a little bit better, and it got better.
Mm-hmm.
So this year, the correction for Vegas is they've now brought in a second varsity team. So you have a D1. Now they moved up to D1, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a D1 varsity team, you have a D3 varsity team, and then you have your JV. So what has that done? What does that look like for the kids that are 14 and under, meaning the kids that are getting into high school?
Mm-hmm.
That's two more teams that did not exist last year. Those kids would have played on. It's interesting. Those kids would have fallen, maybe would have fallen throughout the other organizations or played for the Ice Warriors. And then the other kids that maybe are now currently playing on the Ice Warriors would have been more house league kids in a sense,
mm-hmm.
or been forced to play house league just to keep up with their skills or whatever. So this year, you know, watching the tryouts, it's definitely watered down.
We've added two more teams.
And
we talked about Vegas already being limited in the number of kids that play hockey, the number of kids that are going to be at your tryout. So adding two more teams, that's between, 15 and 18 skaters, sometimes even 20.
Yeah, just throw 20. That's an extra 40 kids.
Yeah.
You know, that 40 kids would have funneled down to Ice Warrior program.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely allowed. And I, you know, one of our listeners out there made a good point about bringing up, like, you know, we need more ice. We need more ice, because the reality of it is we do.
Mm-hmm.
We absolutely need more ice for sure. There's got to be more opportunity, more choices. But the reality of it is that now this is given, say, Ice Warriors having their program is giving those kids in-house league to be able to transition into travel.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the lack of ice, there's still going to be kids that are not going to be on a travel program and will still have to remain in-house league, which maybe they could have had lower level tier two teams, we'll say.
Yeah, like an A team or a B team.
Correct. Where they can still be a part of an organization, still root for that team, that program,
mm-hmm.
and also, you know, represent Las Vegas in general. And I think, but what's really interesting is the prices have really jumped. You know, they've jumped over the last few years a couple $1,000s per team. And really, you know, as we had said earlier, you know, you want to make sure, okay, I always want to push my kid to the better coach. There are kids, and I see it more so not in 14U, but in 16U. There's some really good kids out there that have bypassed Vegas. They bypassed Storm to stick with the coach that they've been dealing with for the last couple of years,
mm-hmm.
Coach Jared, who's done a really good job with these teams and have produced some really good opportunities for these kids to actually beat his teams have beat the other teams, Storm and Vegas Junior Golden Knights in various levels. Right, they're 14U A team beat Storm 14 UA.
Mm-hmm.
They're, I believe they also beat their 14. They beat the 14 UAA.
They did.
For Vegas Junior Golden Knights. They did not beat the Las Vegas Storm 14 AA. Just saying. My son was on that team. But they didn't get crushed. I can tell you that.
No, they didn't. They came out and they had a game plan and they played hard. And I mean, it's
absolutely
a credit to the coach. And the bigger credit to the coach is, hey, there's kids from his team that are moving up in level. There's kids from his team that are playing double A hockey. Kids from his team that are playing triple A hockey.
Yep.
So, you know, this is a coach that had to choose from the kids that didn't make either of the other two organizations, and he took those kids and made them into better hockey players. So, as a parent, if you see that with a coach, and, you know, hey, I want my kid to play for this coach. That's really what the decision is all about.
Yeah.
Not, well, the first decision is, okay, where do I think my kid can make? And that's when we were talking about maybe a combined tryout gives, you know, more.
Yeah, and then it's less stress, too. Right. So, you're just waiting for the offer letters. Bring them on.
So, first thing is, can you know, is my kid going to make double or triple A? But even at that point, you still have a decision to make. Is the coach right for my kid?
Yeah.
Is the guy at Storm the right coach for my kid? Or is the guy at VGK the right coach for my kid? Or is the guy at Ice Warriors the right coach for my kid?
Correct. And that's kind of what I was getting at. Basically, it's this. Listen, we got through the tryouts. We're all good there. Most kids have made whatever teams they need to be making. And so congratulations to all the kids that made it to high school, that made it to 16-double for Storm, all of Gorman. Congratulations to all the Faith kids, you know, for keeping their head up. You know, maybe they got rejected by one organization, but they kept trying out. They kept working hard, and they made it on some team, some form of a team. From all the way from, you know, we'll say 16 or 18 U triple for Vegas Junior Golden Knights, all the way down to, you know, 8 U for Storm or VGK. Ice Warriors has 10 U and higher. Okay. Mm-hmm. So now you've got through all that. You're signing or agreeing or emailing the managers and saying, hey, we're there. We want to be on the team. Some kids I have to tip my hat to. I heard some kids did leave because they thought it was AAA or whatever, and they tried out for hockey, high school stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I also heard kids that it wasn't about the A or anything. They wanted to have options, you know what I mean? So they made one team, but they said, you know what, I'm going to go to – maybe it was coaching, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's great for an opportunity, but obviously we need more ice. Obviously there's more kids, and there's probably a lot of kids that are turned away because there's not enough ice. You know what I mean? There could be more kids out there that are interested in playing hockey. And especially with Vegas Golden Knights, the main team, you know, being in playoffs and winning games and potentially as of last year, winning the Stanley Cup. I mean, kids get drawn to that, you know, it's a youth sport for a reason. So what options do you have though as a parent though after getting through tryouts, you made a team or you didn't make a team? What do you have for summer? What's your summer options, Nate?
Well, there's plenty. Depending upon what you want to do, if you want to travel, you know, do you turn your summer vacation into a hockey vacation?
Yep.
So if you're looking for that, there's plenty of summer camps that kids can go to. Instead of sending your kid to a traditional summer camp, you send them to a hockey summer camp.
Yeah.
And they can, you know, they stay there just like you would at a, you know, a traditional summer camp where you send your kid away for 2 weeks and he stays in the dorms or the tents or whatever they have. He goes and he plays hockey for 2 weeks. You have that route. And there's plenty of those in Minnesota and New York and I believe some in Chicago area and Central Illinois area.
All there is. Place. Actually, Nick Brusa has a nice camp called the Golden Stick in Golden, Colorado.
Okay.
I believe it's June 1st through the 3rd. I think he has a few weekends that he does some, you know, weekend camps. There's also that other one. CCM has a big one in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily, well, maybe it's a camp, but it's over the weekend. But those are like, that's a like individual select CCM program.
Yeah. And those are the sort of the other options. The camps I'm talking about are the ones where, you know, the kid goes away for 2 weeks.
Wouldn't that be nice? You know, there's a good one up in Minnesota, the Heartland
camp. That's exactly what I'm talking about. And there's quite a few up in Minnesota where the kids can go and stay on some sort of campus. There's one in Colorado, the Air Force one.
Yeah.
Right. You can go and stay at the Air Force Academy. And then you have the sort of weekend camps, the visiting coaches camps, sort of more kind of camps with cool experiences.
Yeah.
You know, where, hey, this is Jack Eichel's camp.
Yeah.
Right?
That's true.
So it really depends on what your kid wants to do. Go to one. They're quite pricey. You're probably going to spend at least $500 for one of these 1, 2, 3 day camps, you know, quote unquote camps, where your kid is just coming to the camp and on the ice for a few hours and then you go home.
Yeah.
I believe Apex Hockey is another one that comes to Vegas.
Yeah.
So if you don't want to travel, there's plenty of opportunities over the summer. And then the other thing is something like the Desert Cup, which is ostensibly a quote unquote triple A tournament where you sign your kid up and he's placed on a team and he can play with kids from all over the country.
Pick Canada.
Yeah, that team. Absolutely. Pick Canada.
Canadian team comes in. They, you know, a lot of parents do that. They come down for the summer, get out of the cold, cold Canada, and they come here to Vegas so they can do the Vegas thing, obviously, and their kids can still play hockey because most of them, that's all they do. And, they have triple, double. They have all levels, which is pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great experience. You know, your kid gets to play with some of the players that he would have never have met, from Canada or all over. Like, we had a kid from Michigan. There was another one from, like, I don't know, East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a great opportunity for the kids to do.
Mm-hmm.
You can also jump on some summer teams. There are certain coaches or parents actually that will do a team.
Mm-hmm.
But you have your Las Vegas High Rollers. You have your Henderson Battleborn team. You have the Rattlers. You have the Bounty Hunters. There's quite a few teams out there in Las Vegas that you can actually, you know, sign up for, join, and be a part of the team. I know we have Ethan in on the High Rollers, but we haven't really executed that yet. Been tied up doing other things. But they're even traveling. They were going to, I think, Nashville or Denver. They were going somewhere. They were going to a couple places. And you know, there was one opportunity we had with Scott Favor. You know, he has teams too, where we went out to Philadelphia, played games in Philadelphia. We went out to Omaha. It's great if you're going to utilize that as like a family vacation, and you're kid can, because you got to be out there anyways, your kid can play hockey and the family can watch him play. I think that's a great opportunity. I know for Scott it wasn't a money grab at all, not even a little bit. He had his kid on the team, so he paid just like every other parent, and parents are unique, and they can actually, you know, not solicit money, but, you know, raise money for the program to help, you know, get these kids going with gear and jerseys, socks, all that stuff. So it was a great opportunity. But same with the high rollers. You know, some of the parents out there were saying, Nate, they talk about money grab.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I feel like it's about time. Like, I don't feel that it's a money grab. I feel like they're able to provide a service over the summer that didn't exist 1 to 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
This is an opportunity for kids that maybe don't want to really do travel program. They don't want to really, maybe they're really into high, you know, school. That's funny. Kids being into school, but there are definitely. But here's an opportunity for them to jump on a team, be a part of a team, have some fun, and travel a little bit. Non-sanctioned games, right? All this off-season stuff is non-sanctioned for the most part. I think there's some, but for the most part, it's non. And then say, I like it or I don't like it, and then either try out next season or not. What's your thoughts?
Well, I can understand where some of these parents would see it as a money grab. I think it's more of the kids/parents that are on the more serious end of hockey. However, you're right. It's not really a money grab if you see it as, hey, this is an opportunity for my kid to go and have this experience. But I will say that some of these programs claim this and that, and they claim that your kid's going to get taught by this person and that person, and
yeah,
this person played in the NHL or whatever. Who cares? So that part of it, I can see where a parent would be like,
of course.
This is not what I paid for. Of course. Blah, blah, blah.
I'm not, like, the names of these teams, we're not endorsing. We're just saying that they're out there, they're available. You as parents still have to do your due diligence.
Absolutely.
To say, hey, is this worth my time and my money? And I think that's something really interesting, you know, especially with the aftermath of tryouts, right? Say your kid didn't make the team.
Mm-hmm.
What next? What to do? How do you talk to your kid? Now, that's going to be hard for you because your kid always makes the team. But for me, because I have, you know, we're making a decision now, you know, with Ethan he made Ice Warriors B team. But I don't know if we're going to do it. And talking to Ethan a little bit more about it, we feel that he might have better results and take a season off, but still practicing, still working out, working with a coach one-on-one multiple days a week, get to the gym a couple days a week, do the off ice stuff, stick in pucks, go work with pucks on the side of the house, shoot pucks, yada yada yada. I'm not really sure if I want to put him into a house league, because truly I don't want him to be derailed from a dad coaching saying do this and that.
Mm-hmm.
I think you could potentially, unless you had us as coaches, just saying, I think potentially you can do more harm. And we know that with our older kids, because the older kids played house league when they were playing travel and it was a nightmare. They're good. But you were worried about everyone else around them running into them and stuff like that,
tripping and whatever.
So that's where it gets tough, because it's like, yes, do I want to have him be on a travel team? Yes. Do I want him to? Because his friends, keep this in mind, and maybe people don't know this, and maybe they're living it. My kids don't have friends in high school or eighth grade. Like, they don't have school friends. They were pulled out of school because of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
They were not homeschooled, but they did school from home for a year or two or whatever it was. Then they went back, and then they went to this school and that school, and now this school and that school. They really don't have like true, like what me and you maybe grew up in. It's like, yeah, I remember, like, I've got a really good friend. His name's Kenny. Kenny Alvers. That's my really good friend from high school, from all my schools. Like, mm-hmm. we grew up together.
Yeah, you went to elementary, you went to middle
school. Correct. I don't feel that that's what my kids Absolutely. Have today. Their friends are on a hockey team. The good thing is, and I'm not saying I want to spend, you know, $7,000 or whatever so we can have friends. Not saying that at all. What I'm saying is, because of the relationships that he's had being on these teams, because of the friendships he's had, because of the bonding, like, you know, they'll be on the computer playing video games, chatting with each other mm-hmm. on the weekends till, you know, 9, 10 o'clock at night, laughing and having a good time. Now they're going out fishing and doing other things outside of hockey. Those are the things that are important to me. And it's important for him to have those things. But because he has established them, I'm okay pulling him from the team. Because, number one, I don't think anybody on the team is kids he knew. Like, mm-hmm. they're newer kids. And number two, I feel like he does need a little bit more attention one-on-one with a coach versus be in an organization and that has 15 to 20 kids that your coach is just trying to do the drills.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's fine because all the programs are like that. But, you know, he didn't, his goal was to make A. That was his goal. He didn't make A. He made B. He was on B last season.
Mm-hmm.
We had a great time. Nothing against the organization. Had a great time. Was able to hear a lot of the games and be a part of those games. But this year, it's like, you know, I think he's a little deflated by that. And I feel like, well, I can help him with that. I don't think he needs to be on the you know, what's funny is one of the coaches had told us, he's like, listen, I didn't put my kids in any travel program. And we're talking about a guy who used to play in the NHL. And he goes, I didn't put him in anything. They did house league all those years. I'm sure he worked with them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But he goes, until they were like 16, 17, 18, like older, he goes, they jumped onto the scene and everyone, all the coaches were like, who are these kids? Where'd they come from? Where'd they been?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because they were bigger, stronger, faster, whatever. And they were still wanted, even though they didn't play on a single travel program at all.
Mm-hmm.
Just like your kid, who's 240, 6'3", he's taller now. You don't think if he walked onto a football field
oh, absolutely.
And showed up and said, hey, coach, I can smash a dude or run after that guy. Or, you know, what does he run? He runs a...
last time he was timed, it was 4.45.
4.45. You don't think a coach is going to say, he's oh. never played... And there's plenty of kids in football.
Yeah.
Hockey, I don't know so much. Like, I didn't play hockey at all, and I just picked up my sticks when I was 18. Not so much. But what I'm getting at, though, is I think you can, for him, because we're talking about me and my son, I still feel like he can get there. He can still be noticed. He can still be effective for the next set of tryouts for next season. I think there's a year or two that you can do. You could do that. You can absolutely do that. There, you can easily take a year. Do it now, not at 18.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And you know, it's okay to play house league if you are willing to, you know, maybe you have to invest as a parent your time to make sure that your kid's not getting coached by some, you know, in learning the wrong things, or and as long as he's going and he's improving in other ways.
Yeah.
And hey, it's for example, one of the kids on Bishop Gorman 16AA was a house league kid all the way up to first year 14.
Who's that?
Tritton.
Cash. Oh, Cat Tritton. Yeah, yeah.
He was and so he's doing fine.
Now, yeah.
And
yeah, he's doing fine.
So
he also made the All-Star.
Yeah, absolutely.
For Gorman, because he was on, think about this, last season he was on Gorman, I think it was JV.
I believe so, yeah.
And he made the All-Star team for the school. Not for the school, but for the Anaheim for Ducks. For the high school league.
HL. Mm-hmm. It's all about the kid, and it's all about how hard they're going to work, what work they're going to put in.
Yeah.
Their development physically. Some kids are, for example, your son's just a naturally great skater, has beautiful edge work just naturally.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He's just a little more flexible, a little more athletic in that manner, where he's, you know, he's a little more fluid than most kids are. And so,
yeah.
And then other kids are like my son are just big giant monsters.
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't know where your kid's going to develop physically. You've got to allow them to grow, and taking a year off, you know, as long as they're keeping their skills up,
isn't
really going to hurt them.
Yeah.
And maybe if he goes and works one-on-one with a coach every week, that's going to benefit him more.
Yeah, so he will be. He'll be working 2 days a week. He'll also a couple days of off-ice. That will be part of his program. But also, you know, again, even through the regular season, there's opportunity. Like, for example, the Columbus team, Battery.
Battery hockey, yeah.
So Battery hockey has teams, too, mm-hmm. that you could just jump on. You could just say, hey, we want to play. Like, you can get your kid to play in tournaments. That's not an issue at all. I do think that it's important that kids, if they're going to play on a team, to be part of that team organization, get to know the kids, grow with the kids kind of thing. So, but for me, like, I feel like I'm at that point where I don't mind him having a little bit more focused stuff.
Yeah, and he's got those relationships. And since your son is on my son's team also,
yeah,
he sort of hangs around with those kids anyways, because you know, that's the... I think there was someone that posted on the Facebook group, the hockey parents, you know, a bunch of siblings.
Right? Yeah.
And also...
Oh, did they? I didn't see it.
You know, because the siblings, and since your kids are so close in age, I mean, he just hangs around with sort of the kids that are on the hockey team anyways.
Yeah. So it's not like he'll be completely out of it. So, yeah, as a parent, yes, it's really difficult. You know, how do you tell your kid, hey, you know, you didn't make it? Keep your head up.
Mm-hmm.
This is life. These are great life lessons here. This is absolute life. You know, you're not going to make everything you want. You're going to have some setbacks. But it's not how you fall down. It's how you get up.
Absolutely.
And for him, he may have fallen, but I know he's going to get up, and he's going to put his head down and get to work and do the stuff that he likes to do.
And if he does that, if any kid does that, it's usually going to make a big difference. I know for my youngest son, our kids play together.
Yeah.
Alex, the one season he didn't make VGK. So he, between squirts and peewee, first year peewee.
Yeah.
So he was one of the better skaters on the squirt team, and thought that, you know, he was a shoo-in to make the peewee team. Well, he didn't even make the first cut. And that made him really angry.
I love that. I love it.
And so...
Where's he at today?
Now he's, well, ostensibly AAA.
He's in the NHL.
Oh, yes. But
he's at a program right now that, you know, maybe if he wasn't... Remember, it's not how you fall down, it's how you get up.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't get up and get some motivation from that, he's not where he is today.
Absolutely not. And
parents, don't forget. Don't forget, parents. This is... It's a marathon. Right, the race is a marathon, and it's not a sprint.
Absolutely,
like you're not going to go out sprinting for this long, long marathon that you're going to be trying to deal with. The life is the marathon, like the hockey world is the marathon. There is a lot of opportunity for kids to play hockey. Now, Are your kids going to make the NHL? Who knows? Honestly. I mean that's honestly, so far down the line.
Probably not.
Yeah, reality, right? What's the percentage?
Less than...
My feeling is...
10th of a percentage?
Well, here's the thing. Like, I don't care about wins and losses. Mm-hmm. All I care about is my kid progressing, looking better, feeling good about himself, like those kind of things. Will he have something where I feel like we can maybe navigate through and to say high school / college? That's what I'm hoping for. Like my end result across that, you know, that marathon tape would be, he's got an education. It's been given to him because he's worked hard in hockey, and he's going to be playing for, I don't know, UNLV or whatever out there, right? And they're going to also provide some kind of opportunity for him to go to school. Maybe Ohio State or whatever, which is, you know, your alma mater. But that's what I see as important. I'm not here saying, oh, my God, I hope my son makes it in the NHL so he can pay off my debt that I'm going to be drowning in to get him to the NHL. Now, there are going to be superstars out there. There's going to be, your kid is going to be absolutely amazing. And could I'll bring up Connor Bedard. He just literally turned 18 in the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
He's 3 years older than my son. And he's in the NHL in 3 years. Brandon is not Connor Bedard. He is Brandon Wrights. And that's okay. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So your path can lead anywhere. Yeah. But just know, though, that for your kid, be supportive. Listen to what they have to say. Give them options of what can you do to get better. And make sure that they're doing it. And like, realistically, if Ethan doesn't want to go out and shoot pucks and go to stick and puck, you know, that's on him. He must realize that that's not going to be enough. You're not going to get any better if you're not willing to try.
Absolutely. And that's an important lesson to learn for any kid, no matter how talented. Those kids that have talent doesn't mean that they use that talent well if they don't go out and they don't try. And the kids that do well are the ones that work hard. And the big benefit of youth hockey is it teaches kids to go and work hard, to work for your goal. The big benefit of this tryout experience is, oh, I made my goal because I worked hard, or I didn't make my goal because I didn't work hard enough, or I didn't, you know, how do I improve? And those are life lessons that they'll be able to carry with them all of their life. Whether or not they make a college team and get a scholarship, even if they don't, if you're looking to get into a college academically, that's more difficult. Now you have an extracurricular that looks good on your application.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, listen, at the end of the day, keep your head up, folks. We're going to end this podcast on a positive note. I just want to thank everybody out there that is listening to our podcast. Hopefully you're enjoying it. We have lots of topics to talk about. Next week, we want to talk a little bit more about your travel, like having more ice for lower level tier hockey players versus even if you have more ice versus house league, right? Like I think a lot, I know there are a lot of the reasons why Vegas and Storm and they're not 100% on board. They were at mm-hmm. some point. They had lower level, but I really think they want to just grow those kids starting off in their programs early, often house league play, get good enough. And like we said, there's kids that we know absolutely that are jumping onto their teams, AAA, AA, whatever. But should there be more opportunity for lower level ice for lower level organizations? Lower level being A and B.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's going to be next week's discussion. But if you guys want us to talk about anything else, just hit us up at info@vegasrinkside.com. That's info@vegasrinkside.com. Check us out again at our website at
www.vegasrinkside.com.
And my name's Ron.
And I'm Nate.
And we're out.